Hey, it's the top of the hour, and I'm excited to jump into another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. John Maxwell says the secret of success is found in your daily agenda, and Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the skills that you need that are going to help you today and every day. Today, we are talking about dealing with difficult people. Now, this is really valuable stuff, and if you put it into practice, it's going to pay off for you in a big way. During my career, I saw people who didn't seem to be as talented as I was that moved ahead, and I couldn't figure it out. Why were they moving up? And then it came to me that people had different skills than I had. And it's not just about knowing your domain, knowing your discipline, knowing your stuff. It's more than that. And the great news is this is all learnable. And I wish somebody had told me this when I was younger. But I learned, and now you're here. And I'm excited that you are getting the opportunity to learn some of these things as well. Now, you know that the way that I approach this is I always ask, how are you going to act after today's lesson? As we go through these ideas today, I want you to be thinking about what can you apply? What can you change? What can you teach? Take some ideas from today's lesson and share them with people you know. As we're going through this, I want you to be thinking about that, taking some notes, and then writing down what you are going to do with the information that we share in today's lesson. Now, I often say this, but I have been looking forward to this lesson, and I look forward to teaching this lesson because of the aha moments that I think you're going to get during this. Dealing with difficult people is a common problem. We all have to deal with them. What do we do with these annoying and difficult people? We all have to deal with them. And whether we're working directly with paying customers or with internal team members, we all have challenging people sometimes. In the next few minutes, we're going to unpack some pretty useful stuff when it comes to handling those difficult people in our lives. And if you can take even one idea from today and put it into practice for a month, you're going to be astonished at the great things that happen. Now, maybe for you, you're going to say, Tom, I want some more help with this. I want to go deeper in this specific area. And if that's you, that's fantastic. And I promise at the end of the lesson, I'll share with you a way that you can do that. Fair enough? Well, let's jump in. Why in the world would we want to talk about dealing with difficult people? Well, the fact is that people are frustrating. I was talking with a senior leader in a very large nonprofit, and during our discussion, he was very frustrated with an internal customer. In order to get the things done that he needed to get done, he needed some of his internal customers to buy in and agree to the things that he wanted to do. And he was terribly frustrated that he could not seem to find any points of agreement with that internal customer. He said, they are impossible. Another time I was overseeing a technical team, and we were stuck because another department needed to do something in order for our stuff to work. And our team had tried everything they could think of, and they just couldn't come up with a way to get that other department to do the thing we needed them to do. And some of my team members came back to me, and they said, they just won't help us. Those guys are jerks. Well, after working so many years in business and working with technical experts too, one of the things that's consistent is frustration in dealing with people. Now, in technology, our tech skills would lose value every single day because the world of technology changes so rapidly. And if we weren't constantly learning the new thing, we would be left behind. Now, for you, I've got some good news. No matter what it is that you have learned that's gotten you to this level of success that you're currently realizing, those skills are going to fade. But when you take advantage of learning people skills, they don't fade. Technology changes, but people don't. And if when you learn these basic essentials of dealing with other people, you can apply them over and over again in your life and to everybody you interact with, whether it's personal or in your social life or in your work life. So let's talk about difficult people. for technology folks, like I was a technology guy for a long time, sometimes it's the people that are less technically skilled than we are. We found that our customers felt that what we did must have been magic because they don't understand how it works. And moreover, they didn't understand how elegant our solutions were, how complex our solutions were. Now, sometimes we worked with people who were just as smart as we were, and maybe even smarter, but their skills were in a different area. And sometimes people are focused on or being measured on things that are far different from our priorities or our boss's priorities, and it's hard to get them to help us. If they're being measured on speed and we're asking for quality, well, they don't care about quality because they're getting measured on speed, right? The reality in today's workplace is that we just don't have enough power to make people do things. We just don't have the power to make people do things. And the reality is we can't make anybody do anything. We cannot make anybody do anything. The only way to get people to help us is if they want to help us. That's so important. I'm going to say it again. The only way we can get people to help us is if they want to help us. And you know that's true. You know that if there's somebody who wants you to do something and you don't like them or you just don't want to help them, you can come up with 1,000 reasons not to help them. So if that's true, if you buy into this idea that you can't make anybody do anything, and the only way that people will help us is if they want to help us, then my guess is your question is going to be, how do we get people to want to help us? How do we get people to want to help us? And here's where learning how to hack behavioral psychology can be a big win. When you understand the basics of how people operate, it allows you to be more skilled at getting people to want to help you. And that, getting people to want to help you, will lead to your success. One of my favorite books on the topic of dealing with difficult people was written in 1936. Remember, I said people don't change, so the fact that that book is getting close to 100 years old is irrelevant. It was written by a man by the name of Dale Carnegie, and the book is called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a phenomenal book. In today's lesson, I'm going to talk about one specific thing you can do to fix some of those difficulties in interacting with those people who are not so nice, the ones that are hard to deal with. You probably have heard me say before that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And part of our journey, if people are going to want to help us, is they have to like us and they have to want to help us. So Dale Carnegie's big secret in dealing with people, his big secret is this: give them honest and sincere appreciation. Give them honest and sincere appreciation. Now, for some of you, I can just almost hear the sigh that's going on. Well, your gut reaction is, I don't want to pretend that these people are smart or I care about them or important or whatever. And I would tell you in response to that, you are 100% right. If you flatter people, it doesn't work unless they're really that shallow or really that stupid. And almost nobody is that shallow or that stupid. Realistically, we need to be respected. We don't just want to be respected. It's a deep-seated need that we have. We crave it. People crave a feeling of being important. And it's possible to find a way to help them feel important while retaining your integrity. I'm not talking about flattery. People need to feel important and appreciated. Now, you know how you feel when somebody is completely disrespectful to you. Towards you. And if they disrespect you and then they try to flatter you, it's even worse because it's clear that they're from their disrespect that they have contempt for you. And then if they disrespect you and try to flatter you, it's even worse because you know they have contempt toward you, and then they also seem to be indicating that you're stupid enough to overlook that contempt when they give you false praise. And the thing is, you are not that stupid or foolish. And I have news for you. neither is that difficult person, no matter how much they frustrate you. So let me share one more hack with you. After you find that thing that you can honestly and sincerely appreciate, it's interesting. Your mental attitude toward them changes. Their attitude toward you changes, and your attitude toward them changes. This process not only helps you connect with them and get them to think better of you, but it actually helps you think better of them. Applying this approach changes the way you think about them. Now, let me ask you, when it comes to that other person, what do they want? Going back to that senior leader in the nonprofit that I was talking about earlier, I asked him, what do you want? What is it you think they want? What do they want? And he answered, nothing. There's just no way to satisfy them. Now, I do not know what they want, but I know one thing. They want something. And understanding what people want is a powerful way to get their cooperation. In that conversation, I only had a short time to discuss the challenge before he had to run off to meet with his customer. But if I had the opportunity to follow up, I would ask him to look for something that they do well. Something that they're proud of. Now, your initial thought might be, but Tom, these people, they can't be good at anything. They're stupid. That's what John told me. John was an analyst on my team, and he was great at crunching the numbers. And he was able to see patterns in large data sets that led to some big wins for our clients. And one day, we got off a conference call with a client, and he said, Tom, our clients are idiots. And this is why we didn't usually take John on sales calls, right? John's point was, they didn't get it. That he understood their data, he understood their problems, and he understood how to fix it far better than they did. And that was the standard that John used when he was determining if somebody was smart or not. But here's the thing. People are not stupid. Now, I know that statistically speaking, a certain percentage of the population is not smart. And it is possible that the person you're talking to is one of those not smart people. But I'll also suggest that perhaps they're working on a different problem than you are. They're thinking about a different thing than you are. They're optimizing for something other than what you're optimizing for. Remember that speed versus quality thing I mentioned earlier? Maybe they're measuring success far differently than you're measuring success. And if their definition of success is different from yours, that might dramatically alter the priorities, right? People do what works. Now, I was talking to John. I said, John, what if the reason that they hired us was so that they didn't have to learn all the details of this stuff? After all, if they focused on understanding this problem better, they wouldn't need us, right? But what are they being measured on? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. What is it that they want? What are they being measured on? How do they define success? Because when we can align our message with the thing that they want, then they're going to want us help them get what they want. We're always happy to help people get what we want. If they're going to help us get what we want, why would we not want to do that? Now, sometimes you might think, well, they really are stupid. I had a man tell me, look, I write software. My manager doesn't know the difference between Java and JavaScript, and we spend all day writing one, and we don't write the other one at all. How am I supposed to respect a guy like that? Now, as a technology guy, we like to think in terms of ones and zeros. Either it's on or it's off. You know, one is on and zero is off. And many times, as geeks, once we've heard somebody say something not very accurate, not appropriate, not right enough times, we get to the point where we kind of flip a switch and we say, you know, that person's not that smart. In fact, there's a term for it. We call it flipping the bozo bit. You ever done that? You hit a certain limit with somebody and all of a sudden you decide they don't get it, they're never going to get it, and you flip the bozo bit? Once you flip the bozo bit, you cannot even hear what they're saying. Because once you mentally decide that they're stupid and you set the bozo bit to the on position, then everything you hear from them gets sent through a filter that says, a stupid person said this, and you just can't hear it. That's what John had done with our client. And that's what the developer had done with his manager. Each of them had flipped the bozo bit. Since the bozo bit was in the on position, that person was now a bozo. Everything that person said is now run through a filter that says, yeah, but remember, that information is coming from a bozo. You will probably want to ignore it. I mean, that was the big joke in Dilbert, the comic strip Dilbert, right? The pointy-haired boss. When the bozo bits flipped, we think of them as the pointy-haired boss, and we stop listening. So there, now what? That person is just stupid. Nothing you can do, right? Actually, Dale Carnegie addresses that too. He quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson as saying, "Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn from him." Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn from him. So what does that ignorant software development team manager do well? What's he proud of? Maybe it's geeky. Well, probably not. But in what area is that person capable of doing great work? Let me put it to you this way. He did something right that got him in the position of being the boss. If he was really a hopeless idiot, he wouldn't be your boss, right? So what's that thing that he focuses on, that thing he's good at, that thing he really wants to see done well? If you intentionally flip off the bozo bit, turn it off, if you look and really look, I bet you can find some way in which he is your superior. Let's say he's actually good at sensing the political landscape, and he can tell what's likely to get cut or what might get some more budget next year. Or maybe she's really good at finding ways to deliver bad news so the customer is less upset when they hear it. There's very likely to be something you can admire. And so what I want you to do is look for that. And then when you find it, ask him to explain, how is it that you could see that coming? What was it that you looked at that helped you find that? Or tell her you appreciate how good she is at getting the words right. Find a way to offer her honest and sincere appreciation. That is the key. Even in a worst case scenario, there is a way to say something good. Now, Carnegie tells a story from John D. Rockefeller. One of his partners was responsible for managing a project, and he had tried to do the best he could, and unfortunately, doing his best, he managed to lose $1 million of John D. Rockefeller's money. And that was back when $1 million was it was a lot of money. I found an online calculator to convert that, and you know what I found out? That $1 million in that year was worth about $70 million in today's money. Now, I don't know, I mean, I can't even imagine having that much money, but the idea that somebody had made some boneheaded decisions that lost that much money, how could you possibly say anything good about that? But rather than criticize him, Rockefeller looked hard and he found something that he could praise. You know what it was? Rockefeller said, "At least you saved 60% of our investment. That's splendid. We don't always do as well as that upstairs." Even when this guy lost an immense amount of money, Rockefeller found something he could honestly and sincerely appreciate. And that's the secret hack. Finding something that you can honestly and sincerely appreciate about the other person. Find something that you can really, truthfully praise about them. And we're not talking about flattery. Flattery is BS. It will not help you. But you need to be aware that you've turned on the bozo bit, and you need to be prepared to turn it off. What can you appreciate about that other person? And when you find it, can you say it out loud? Well, we're getting to the close of this lesson, and I just want to review with you a couple of things that we talked about. First, who is it that you need to influence? Is it possible that with that person that you're struggling to influence, you need to turn off the bozo bit? When you think about the thing that you need to get them to do, what do you think they want? Is there something you can honestly and sincerely appreciate about them? I want you to take a moment and think about these ideas from today's lesson and figure out which one you can apply, change, or teach. And if you're with your team as you listen to this, it's time for a conversation among the team members about how can you deal better with difficult people. Now, you might be thinking, Tom, I'd like to go deeper. I want to know more about this topic. And I've got a 4-session book study on Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It is a great book. I love this book. I try to read it at least once a year. And I'd love to do that with you or with your team. It's $199 a person, and in these 4 sessions, you will dig in and learn a lifetime's worth of lessons on connecting with and influencing other people with practical ways you can immediately put into practice. If it's interesting, send me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.